Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation! The squad is back. Well, somewhat back. We got some new faces in here today. Ho-ass Brennan couldn't make it
because I can't go. I'm tired. I don't have
too
time.
Busy.
I can't watch.
I can't do it, bro. I think he just bailed out. I don't even think he is perfectly fine and able. He just bailed out. He was like, fuck.
He quit football practice.
He just mismanaged.
What show did he do that with? He did it with another show where he was just like, fuck it. I'm not going to watch the end of this.
I don't remember, but
I forget, but he did do that.
It's probably Kuroko.
I was going to say, it may have been Kuroko. I think he wanted to.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know what we do here on Animation Podcast, man? We have one all. We have debate. We talk our shit. This week, we're going to finish off X-Men, the anime. X-Men 2011, as people call it. But it's X-Men, the anime. The Japanese version, the anime version. And episodes 9 through 12 is in review. Go ahead and get the shit off ice since Brenda's not here. You ain't got to throw it in the middle of the episode.
You know, I ain't got to finesse them. We got the homies Cam and Tony in the building. And, you know, when we have these special guests on, this is what solidifies us as the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Yeah, Tony, as you don't know, Brennan, he hates that. So he go, he'll take his headphones off so he doesn't hear it for whatever reason. I don't know.
He hates what?
Brennan, I saying we're the greatest fucking anime podcast.
Every time he just throws his headphones off like it's.
Why does he hate that?
He's a bitch.
I don't know. We try to spring it on him just to surprise him so he has to listen to it. And every time he just rips the headphones off because, you know, Brennan's petty. He's petty like that.
Rob will be in the middle of a fucking recap and then you'll see your wife go, it's the greatest. And then you'll see Brennan go, oh. Yeah, so we do have some special guests here. We have Cam. If you know Cam, he does, he puts our podcast together, does the sound. He hooks us up, makes us look good out here in these streets.
Cam, the man, Killer Cam. Mm-hmm.
Killer Cam out in these streets. We have Tony Killer Baker, Cam. My brother, or may not be my brother, but he is my brother. You know what I'm saying? Y'all would never know in these streets. Tony
you
Baker.
Never know.
The king.
On average, how many times do y'all get that? Like, are y'all related?
Every time I phone something.
All the time.
And y'all both got the bald head, so I think that doesn't
bald
help.
Bald head, same last name. Why not? I would think it if I wasn't us. I would think that too. Y'all related?
I thought it when I first met you guys.
You know, bro.
You know, it's
they gotta be related.
Why not?
It's all family.
You know, how many people are friends with people with the same last name?
That's true.
I feel like that doesn't happen a lot.
No,
same last name. Yeah, like you said, similar complexion, not too far off complexion wise.
Right.
Both bald. So this is like, oh, they have to be. If they're not brothers, they're cousins at least.
For sure, at least, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all
right, 23 and me.
Yeah, we still got to check that out for real.
Right.
But Rob, go ahead and start with the recap. Episodes 9 through 11. Go ahead, Rob, lead us off.
Yeah, I'll try to get us through quick. Episode 9, the X-Men call out Dr. Sasaki for lying to them and trying to figure out just what the hell she's been trying to tell her staff to inject themselves with. But she's like, listen, that can't be responsible for all these crazy second mutations that have been going on because it's actually designed to suppress mutant abilities so they don't transform like the others. And Beast is like, well, then that shit doesn't work. So they try to get some more out of her about it. And she's, you know, just doing what she's just doing there. Like, what are these experiments about? But she only says that her research is important for humans and mutants together. And it's just then that they realize, hey, where the hell is Emma? And this lab assistant, they're both just missing. So most of the team heads out to, find out where they went. And Beast hangs back to keep an eye on the good doctor and call Xavier. Xavier, meanwhile, though, is still tumbling through some weird alternate dimension and can't take the call. After seeing some trippy stuff like his own dead body and another Blackbird and the controls just like liquidizing, you know, he realizes this has got to be some kind of illusion and tries to use his telepathic powers to get himself out. But
I got a theory about that, man.
You got a theory?
I think he was on shrooms.
No, I was about to say.
He's like, this is about to be a long trip. you know, let me just have some shrooms before
I... He didn't come down like he thought he would.
Oh, shit, I took too much. I OD'd on it.
He was like, I thought it would kick in right away. I didn't realize, you know. Take time to settle in. Back at the lab, Emma has cornered June deep in the bowels of the research base. June plays innocent at first, but Emma's like, hey, the jig is up. I know you're mastermind in disguise. And he comes clean. He's like, you know, I should have killed you, you know, when I had the chance, you know, when you left the inner circle. But goes on to explain how he got there. You know, after his fight with the X-Men, he heard about weird mutant activity in this area of Japan and figured, hey, a huge power must be behind that. So traced the center of it to this lab, joined the team in disguise so he could find out, you know, what was behind it, control them. And he's moments away from like realizing his grand scheme. And she asks him like, so why did you, you know, project my image to the X-Men and their fight against the Phoenix? And he's like, I basically just figured, you know, if once you left my team, it was only a matter of time before you connect with the X-Men. So if I sow that distrust, maybe they kill you for me, you know, just do the job for me, you know, no problem. He does offer her another chance. You know, hey, why don't we team up? It turns out nobody's dead, so why don't we do that? But she refuses, activates her diamond skinned ability, which makes her immune to his illusions, and they just start to fight. But unfortunately for Emma, he's not alone. Marsh is there and captures her with his water abilities from a nearby vent. But, you know, luckily the X-Men arrive just in time. Cyclops is able to blast her free. Mastermind tries to fool them that he's still June and Emma's gone crazy. But Wolverine and his heightened senses, his smell abilities that came out a lot these episodes, not so easy to fool. So Mastermind goes to Plan B and just uses his powers to turn Wolverine against them, making everybody else appear as human robots attacking Jean Grey. After Wolverine almost like shish kebabs a few of them, Cyclops steps in and they get to have their grudge match and duke it out. And Storm calls Beast down for backup. And he arrives just basically right on time as Marsh is joining the fight and giving Emma and Hisoka a bunch of problems. Cyclops and Wolverine are keeping it pretty even, but when Storm gets in there, Storm like sweeps Wolverine up with a wind, you know, windstorm, and Cyclops blasts him into a pipe with the assist, you know, knocks him out.
Don't do that.
Knowing the tide is turning, Mastermind makes for the door where the powerful mutant's being held. Cyclops tries to laser him, but Marsh pushes his boss out of the way, and Cyclops just blasts the doors open instead.
Rob, am I tripping? Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mastermind fought a little bit, right? Like, he had hands, right? He fought somebody.
He fought Emma a little bit, and he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot, like, you had, like, martial arts training, but then that was, like, right when the X-Men arrived. Like, they were kind of going back and forth, and Marsh, like, wrapped up Emma, and then when the X-Men came on. Hands, though.
To Brandon's point, Brandon was like, if I had Mastermind powers, I wouldn't fight at all. See, that's what happened. When them powers go away, you got to get after them with your hands. And, you know, Mastermind had hands.
He was definitely dodging some punches there. But, you know, Mastermind's true identity is revealed here. Cyclops almost kills him then and there, but Beast is like, hey, let's not do that here. Not wanting to hit whatever is behind that door because it just looks like a bunch of complicated machinery. And on top of that, Rat, the other guy from the inner circle, arrives, and it's time for round two of this fight. You know, Wolverine and Rat are, you know, they've got a score to settle, so they're going at each other right off the bat. Cyclops is trying to take on Marsh, but the dude is just liquid, so he dodges everything, no problem. And with his henchmen kind of taking care of the problem, Mastermind just goes through the door to Dr. Sasaki's shock, who's still not sure where her old lab assistant went. But her other two lab assistants, they wake up and, you know, they hear the noise fighting, so of course they're going to join the scene pretty quickly as well. Things start to turn in the X-Men's favor as Xavier, with the help of Jean Grey's voice from the beyond, finally manages to overpower the mushrooms he'd been taking and sees an exit out of the dimension. While back at the lab, Storm and Wolverine team up against Rat, and they take advantage of Wolverine's healing factor here. He gets impaled on some of Rat's spikes, but, you know, uses that to keep him close while Storm just absolutely sizzles the both of them.
Incinerates his ass.
But, you know, Wolverine, of course, he's fine. So now it's all down to Marsh, who's just like, all right, I'm out of here, and goes to join his boss. The good guys reconvene, and Riko and Kaga, the remaining lab assistants, join them, kind of just, you know, wondering what the hell is happening. We get a huge exposition dump from Emma and Beast here as they kind of put two and two together.
God damn.
Whatever mutant Sasaki is hiding is responsible for this widespread mutation and weird stuff that's been going on in the area. And they tried to hide it by building this machine that would block telepaths and Cerebro from detecting mutants in the area. But worst of all, she teamed up with the U-Men to kidnap mutants and take their organs so she could work on her bunk serum that doesn't even work. Racked with guilt and worried about what Mastermind is up to, Sasaki runs toward the final chamber and the rest chase after. And we see that the most powerful mutant there is Surprise. Her son was Xavier, that she had said was dead earlier, Takeo. It turns out all her work, all this evil she's done, was to find and develop a cure for mutants to suppress their powers so she could give it to her son, who suffers because of the immense amount of power he's capable of. But what she didn't know is that the human betrayed her and started working with Mastermind in the Inner Circle instead. And over the course of months, Mastermind has been winning Takeo over to his side and stopped giving him the serum that would suppress his powers, which is why there were so many strange occurrences in the area. And now he wants to use his ability to bend matter and reality to help him make mutants the rulers all over the world. So suddenly another member of the Inner Circle arrives, Neuron, who attacks Kaga and Riko with his sense heightening ability that can basically just increase pain 1,000-fold. And just with the sound of his finger snaps, he just kills him instantly. He traps Beast and Wolverine in like this weird cocoon of his tendrils and gives them a similar shock, but not one large enough to kill them, I guess. Marsh reappears and just traps everybody. And, you know, they are all just left to stand there and watch as Mastermind uses his illusion powers to manipulate Takeo into doing his bidding. As Takeo starts to bring down the lab around everybody, Hisako's Harry Potter scar on her hand starts to tingle again. And suddenly she remembers him as a childhood friend and, you know, was trying to remember, you know, she couldn't remember when they first got to the lab. We get a flashback where we see them both as kids. They were being picked on by other mutant children. Takeo, he accidentally activates his powers and turns these snowballs that are being thrown into them into fireballs, you know, scarring Hisako's hand and burning down the Sasaki Institute. And he was so embarrassed by the pain and destruction in his powers had caused, he used his powers to make everybody just forget about him and the Institute. And Dr. Sasaki began her research to see if she could, you know, help him at that point. And because if he went unregulated, he could destroy the world, which is exactly what Mastermind is trying to do. Cyclops is like, well, why didn't you just call us for help? And Sasaki has no answer for that. She's just like, Charles, his father, me, his mom. Speaking of Xavier, though, he's out of the alternate dimension at this point, but he's plummeting towards the Earth as things go haywire around him. But the voice of Jean wakes him up and he heads towards the Eye of the Storm as, things are starting to engulf the world. And now remembering Takeo and seeing him again, Hisako, you know, she's motivated. She pushes herself and her powers to escape Marsh's grasp. Freeing Storm and Emma as well. With this new ability, she's able to basically somehow hit Marsh, and Cyclops is just lasers him to death, and now we're just down to the one last enemy. Seeing his henchmen fall, Mastermind is getting a bit more active, locks Cyclops in one of his illusions, making him see the death of the X-Men and Jean Grey, telling him it's all his fault for not killing her like she had begged him to. Emma wants to try and free him, but, you know, in her diamond form, you know, she can't, you know, use those illusions. And if she takes herself out, Mastermind can turn her against him. So they're kind of in checkmate right now. The damage to the lab becomes more and more severe with Takeo manipulating metal pipes to tie up Storm and Dr. Sasaki. And a few more fall onto Hisako and Emma, trapping them. Wolverine starts to see how bad the situation is, just like looks at Beast and just like, you know, hit me as hard as you can. All the pain like overwhelms his rage abilities. He just like goes straight into Beast mode and just like he carves Neuron to pieces, like it just absolutely just stabs, cuts this dude up, just barely manages to get in control in time before he does the same thing to Beast. It was close. Meanwhile, Cyclops is battling to get out of the illusion. He also sees the true Jean Grey appear to him. She tells him it's okay. You know, he needs to shoot her. The fake green Jean Grey is begging him not to. He fights his instinct and fires, hitting Mastermind and breaking the illusion. Mastermind's like, well, I still got Takeo, but he loses control over that, and some pipes wrap him up as well, and he just absolutely gets crushed. And at this point, Takeo has got nobody keeping the leash on him, and this dude goes out of control, goes huge. Everybody just scatters to get out of the lab. And Cyclops is like, hey, like, we're probably gonna have to kill this kid before, like, he destroys the world. Sasaki tries to protest, but you know, they don't have any other choice. You know, that is until the Blackbird crashes in the distance and Xavier uses his wheelchair pod to roll up onto the scene. Tokyo drifted on up to the fight scene. From space, we see that Takeo's influence has spread all over the world. And this is, you know, this is the moment that Sasaki decides to tell Xavier that, yeah, this is your son you're looking at, the one that I told you is dead. Xavier uses his powers to reach out to mutants and heroes all around the world to help fight the disaster and protect humanity. And we see some familiar faces here. Archangel, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Rogue, and Deadpool all getting some cameos here, along with Captain Britain. A little bit lesser known, to at least to me. Then the X-Men themselves leap in to attack Takeo, and he's way beyond their strength and is able to turn their own attacks against them. And instead, Xavier has to step in front and try to mind meld with him and try to calm him down. He manages to stop Takeo in his tracks, and Cyclops is like, this is the time we gotta attack. But Emma warns him, like, at this point, if you kill Takeo while he's linked up with the professor, this could kill them both. And it's a tough call, but you know, Cyclops is like, if that's the price we have to pay, that's something we might have to do. In Takeo's mind, however, Xavier is trying to reason with him, get him to, you know, control his power, but his pain and his anger just makes him lash out at him, and he releases this energy attack that causes the X-Men in the physical world all to just, like, pass out. At this point, the world between worlds, Jean reaches out to all of them and, you know, tells them to rise. Humans and mutants are fighting the threat together, even Iron Man on the scene at this point, but they need to finish the job with Takeo. They rise up, and Cyclops gets ready to go in again, but Emma stops him and says, you know, it's up to let Xavier, you know, do his work so they can carry the light and the ideals of the X-Men into the future. Xavier, meanwhile, realizes there's no saving Takeo. He has to shut his mind down if he's going to stop him, something that could kill him as well. Hisako doesn't want to hear any of that, though, and tries to talk with Takeo in his monstrous form, you know, trying to jog his memories of their good times together. Then her armor powers take on a new form, and she's also able to enter his mind, and she offers him her hand, and he finally calms down, regains his human form in his mind, and Xavier realizes that, you know, his son has been trying to reach out to him, you know, so that he could be saved. And he apologizes and embraces his son, who turns to light and dissipates both in his mind and in reality, spreading all over the world and ending the chaos. And with the action over, Sasaki says she's ready to face the music and makes to kill herself to make up for her crimes. But Takeo gives her one last vision of their small family all together. And Xavier tells her, you know, this is our son's last wish, that, you know, we all hang on to each other. And so she decides to live. She tries to explain to Charles that Takeo was already too far gone when Xavier tried to contact them. And Xavier, you know, revels in the pain of having to put down his own son. But in the end, he knows that, you know, he was at peace. It was what he wanted, but, you know, not because of them, but because of what Hisako did. And at the end, they all gather around to determine, even though there will be more challenges and hardships ahead, you know, it's their purpose to help bring the world together in harmony and defeat evil. And it was Hisako who taught them that, you know, how they can do it with love and peace. And Cyclops gives her Jean's necklace and thanks. And says that, you know, he has a lot to learn from her and Emma, but Wolverine points out that their jet is still crashed and they're going to have a hard time getting home. But that's a story for another time, because then we get to credits, and in a post-credit stinger, we see that Magneto, who had been locked up during all this, has escaped from his plastic cell, and they set up a second season that has still not come.
Probably not coming.
Good. Probably never coming. Good.
Go ahead.
You know what? Yo, you know what's crazy? Go ahead.
Oh, Rob, how do you do the recaps?
I got a document. I used to do this by memory, but I write this out now because, like, wow. I can't remember all of that. Yeah. I'll watch the show and then usually try, like, watch it again and, like, skip through and, like, you know, watch it at 1.5 times speed or something and just, like, pause and write it up.
So you did it just now, but reading the words?
Yeah.
Okay. That was epic, man. I was like, man, he giving us the full recap.
I appreciate the compliments, man.
And then he fills in holes that I miss because, you know, with this, you know, it's all subtitles. So if I'm doing something and trying to watch this at the same time, I'm missing stuff all the time because I can't hear what they're saying. So
sometimes I don't get it until the rewatch, honestly. Sometimes it takes me that second time around where I'm like, what happened there? Like, what was going on?
You don't watch the dub at all when you get a chance? This is dubbed also.
Nah, I can't do dub. Even though I need
you,
but
the voices though, mm-hmm. for like the original Wolverine voices is everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the dub is legit. The cartoon, but yeah,
this dub is legit.
Okay. Well, shoot, I should have been doing that.
Mm. What's interesting, though, is the dub and the subtitles never line up, and sometimes they're, like, way off, and I'm like,
it's way off, yeah. Because I accidentally kept the subtitles on when I was watching it in the dub, and I'm like, same. This shit not even... Ain't even the same.
Yeah, I know, because like the same shit. I know you guys have been watching the dubs. I've been watching the subs, and like I know Brennan particularly is just like, you know, the dialogue doesn't make sense. The voice acting isn't, or he didn't like it. And I'm like, well, just switch over to the subtitle one because I'm not having those problems. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the question portion of the show. Thank you, Rob, as always, for recapping that, putting that together, man. You know, my week caps are nowhere near as good as Rob's recaps. Yeah, I do the week cap when Rob's not here, and we call them week caps for a reason because they be trash. But it is.
Ass fuck.
I'm not going to remember.
The X-Men, they struggled and then they won.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Back to episode 3. Hold on. Episode 7. You know what
was that character's name?
Yeah, what's his name? With the claws
and the guy.
Nah. Come out.
All right, man. So this is the question portion of the show, man. We're gonna ask a few questions. First question is from Cam. If Takeo was your son, what would you have done differently in not raising him? Cam?
No, what would you have done differently or not done differently in raising him?
Oh, it just says done differently or not in raising him. My bad. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, I got to answer? Oh, okay.
Answer your own questions first.
I mean, this is all hypothetical, throwing out the whole relationship between Xavier and the woman and all that. I forget her name, sorry. but for me, it would have been trying to keep that family together. And if I were her, I wouldn't have tried to hide him from Xavier because he's definitely the only person I could see that could have helped guide this very powerful mutant to like a better state than he was, because he was obviously scarred from like not having a proper family, from having this power that he can't control from a very young age. And like Xavier, I see as kind of that person who can like help the mutants in general, just with his ability and with his genuine need and like desire to assist these mutants that he's gathering, and he's got a whole school. So to me, it would have been like, it's as simple as just keeping that kind of family unit and giving him the care and respect that he needed, despite him being such a dangerous force.
Okay. Tony?
I agree with Cam. Like, you never hide the kids from the parents. Mm-hmm. I'm big on that. And that's rule one, man. She was fouled for not letting Charles know that, yo, you got a whole son over here. Especially with Charles's track record, man. He has a school for kids. So you know he gonna represent on the fatherhood tip. You know he gonna be like, oh, I got a son. Oh, man, let's get it cracking. Let's get it cracking. They gonna be doing this to each other and having conversations. And like, yeah, me too. You know, what you watch? I already knew you was watching it. So it's like, that was a dumb move on her part. And they definitely should have... They could have prevented all of this, really, you know, to be honest with you. And like, you know, because it's always a scary thing when you're the most powerful, you know, mutant telepath on the planet. And then, you know, oh, I got a kid now, so he could be even more, you know. So it's like, you know, I get that whole dynamic. But still, man, you know, you let him know he got a son.
Because she didn't even have a rebuttal for it.
It was like
they said that, and then she came with a whole dissertation on why she kept him away. They said, why didn't you include Xavier? And she was just like, I don't know. I guess
trash, man. Horrible. Trash. He could have represented, had him at the school. He could have had like more friends. And she messed it up, man. This is her fault. That's why
Beast
she wanted to kill herself.
Like a suit
because
he could have controlled his power.
Right. He could have did something. He could have been kicking it with Jean. Like, well, what's up? I'll have a little telepath party.
Come on, man.
Ice.
Yeah, I think I'm taking myself written and not really Xavier. That's how I read, like, when I answered the question, I did it as myself. And I'm just thinking of, like, my son and, like, 17-year-old me trying to raise fucking Legion. Like, that'll be tough. Like, because, like, what do you do to a kid that, like, I'm trying to discipline you and you, like, fam. Shut up. Like, you could throw me across the room and you super powerful. Like, knowing how my son is, like, if Icy had those powers, he would beat the dog shit out of me. Like, Dad, shut the fuck up. And, like,
I mean, I'll take care of him. He'll call you Ice.
He'd definitely call me Ice. He'd be like, get out of my face, Ice. Like, what do you... Stop. Like, but I would do it. I would do it. You know, I had to, you know, man up in that situation and do it and raise a regular kid. So I would do the same. You know, him having powers wouldn't change nothing. And I would just try to figure it out. I'd be trying to figure out Xavier if he's real. Like, hey, fam, I got this kid over here, bro. You gotta come get him. Like, this dude's wilding. So, yeah, I would definitely try to get him with Xavier and raise him to the best of my ability.
Yeah. My thing is, in my opinion, if I'm the regular human and I have a child with somebody that, you know, is a mutant, I'm calling them first. You gotta deal with this shit. That doesn't make any sense to me to avoid them. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. I think, if, you know, Professor X would have had him at the school, you know, the boss's son is always an asshole. So he would have been a dick at the school. He would have been just... Going in there, you're messing with people, but like, what are you gonna do? My father owns a school, fucking assholes. My school. It's gonna be my school the next 25 years, anyways. Come on, steal it. Nah, he would have been a dick. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more I can say of that you all haven't already said. I mean, what would I have done differently? Everything. Like, just her decision to not bring in Xavier and the X-Men on this is indefensible. Like, I don't understand that logic at all. Like, this is one of the dumbest doctors I've seen on any TV show, real life or fiction. Like, I cannot believe, I don't understand the decision making at all to not use that resource, especially when they broke up or whatever. It seemed like it was on good terms, and he reached out to her and she was just like, he was too far gone at that point.
What?
Bro,
I don't know. I would have done everything different. I would not have made a single choice that she made.
So, Rob, is she the dumbest anime? Because it's technically an anime. Is she the dumbest anime character ever? Now, does she take the throne from Sarah Cyrus?
Yeah,
that we watch. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she has to, because the only reason this show happens is because of what she did.
Yeah. There is no show.
There is no show. She makes one good choice. What?
So Parasite Lady, she's lost her throne now.
She's going down to the silver platform.
she's second rank.
She's getting the silver medal at this point.
All right. So next question. So we see what she's done. She lied. It was a huge lie. What is the biggest lie that you ever believed? Ice.
You know me. It's involving a woman, of course. The biggest lie I've ever in my life. And it was this girl that I wasn't even talking to. I wasn't with her. She was just a really close friend of ours. And then one day, this is like freshman year of college, and she just disappears like off the face of the earth and like comes back. And then she's like, I have cancer. And everybody's like, oh shit. She's like, I have cancer. And everybody liked her. So she creates this GoFundMe or whatever was popping at the time. And everybody just dumps a shit ton of money, and she constantly like updates us, checking in at certain hospitals. And then it almost backfired on her, because she checked in at a hospital, and one of the girls like that we knew worked at that hospital as like a practicing nurse, and she was like, oh, I'm here too, like, what room are you in, let me pull up. And she's like, no, you know, like, I don't want anybody to come see me like this, I look terrible, da 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 da. So long story short, She ended up raising close to like 30 G's, and I put in a good amount. My homies put in a good amount, and then she posts pictures with like IVs in her arm and shit like that. Then again, goes ghost. Comes back like 2 years later, got like a brand new Jeep, like a bunch of brand new shit. And she jokes and be like, ah, like, y'all motherfuckers fell for it. Like, I never had cancer. I was just broke as fuck, and I just wanted to see how much money I can get off you dumb motherfuckers.
She could be sued for that, can't she?
That's what I'm saying.
Class action.
That's like, I was hot. I was hot because she disappeared again, so motherfuckers thought she dead.
Was you hot? Because how much money did you put in? You was hot over $20, man. You tripping, dog.
I'm a freshman in college, so it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot. I would say I maxed out at 100. That was like
that would be mad at. That's
yeah, like yeah, it was like 100, 150. It wasn't over $200, but it was about that. It under 500 for sure. But
you put a CD player in that Jeep. You put a CD player in that Jeep, man.
Yeah. That's what I'm. And yeah, basically, and I was hot because it was like, you my friend, like. And it's funny too, because I hit her up. I'm like, why did you do this? She was like, well, honestly, she tried to put it on me because she was like, well, I started with you. And once I knew that you believed me, everybody else would. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? But yeah, that's crazy. That was the biggest lie that I've ever believed in my life.
Rob.
Damn. Well, I mean, this is a story I think I might have told on the show before, because like it's just when I think of this, it's the one. And it's a guy everybody here knows, Tony Valentino. Tony Valentino did this to me when we were roommates in college. Tony grew up Catholic, and he told me at one point, like, yeah, part of like the confirmation thing is you have to like, you witness an exorcism to like show that like, you know, the demons are real, the power of Jesus. And I'm like, I didn't grow up in a family that really went to church. My family that did go to church was Protestant. And I'm like, Catholics are like, do some weird shit. So like, that's not totally out of the realm of possibility, but I'm like, let me corroborate this. So I actually texted a girl that I was seeing at the time who was Catholic. And I was like, is this a thing? Like, and without talking to Tony, nothing. She went along with it like right away. Was just like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we actually didn't have a person. We had to like get like a pig that like a farmer was saying was acting like all weird and like recorded stuff. And like, I was like, what the hell? And like, I believed this for like at least like 6 months to a year, to a point where I was talking to somebody and he was talking about his confirmation at like, I was at work and I was talking to a coworker and he's just like, yeah, you know, growing up Catholic, blah, 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 my confirmation. I was like, oh, like, so who'd you see get like an exorcism? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, like part of the confirmation, you know, you got to see like somebody get exorcised or whatever. And he's like, that is not a thing that we do. And I called up Tony. It had been so long. He forgot that he had told me that lie in the first place. He like he planted that seed, that time bomb, and just walked away. Totally happy that I was willing to believe it. That was a long con, a several month long con.
I love how he forgot about it himself. That's fucking hilarious.
Oh my God. That was the one.
Is there a lie a big lie that you had to believe, that you ever believed at one point?
Oh yeah. My dad was my dad. Like that was the biggest lie. Like, you know, I grew up believing that my dad was my real dad. And he wasn't. And so I was like, oh, you know, that's a pretty big.
That's huge.
That's a big one.
That's huge. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like, you know, I hate to call it a lie. Like, because, you know, it wasn't like, I just thought he was my dad. So it was like, you know, but then when they told me the truth, I was like, oh, wow, that's a bombshell. I handled it well, but it was still like.
How old were you?
Damn. I found out. My brother told me he spilled the beans when I was in, I think, like 10th grade. And he told me. And I was just like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then I was like, man, whatever. I didn't believe him. In the back of my mind, I was like, hmm. And then when I turned 18, that's when my mom, you know, came with the truth. And she was all like, you know, she didn't know my brother already spilled the beans. So I was like, oh, yeah, Khalil told me already. She was like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know. So by that time, you know, I had already had been thinking about it anyway. So it was just like, but that's a pretty big lie. So yeah,
that's a big one.
That could have been life changing too, because you could have went like in against your family or something.
I could have. Like, hey, I could have had a complete meltdown. That could have been disastrous, but it wasn't, huh?
Was your favorite? Was one of your favorite songs at the time? Shaq's Biological didn't bother.
Nah, I never liked that. I never really got into Shaq's raps. You know what I'm saying? Unless he had a dope feature.
Him with the, what was the heads? What was their name? The Snick.
Fushnickens?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Can we rap? That was a verse. If he had a feature, like, I would be all in. Like, when he did No Hooks and, like, you know, I was all in then. But if it was just him, I was usually cool on that.
Okay. Just coming at Alonzo Mourning for no reason.
So for me, I mean, I was just for a second racking my brain on any lies that are like super personal to me, and I don't have any, but I do have one. When I was in high school, one of our teachers went on a tangent about this stalker that was like following her around and continually like doing these things. And she went like way too deep into her personal life about like all of these things. And it was so like vivid and detailed. And she went, it was like a couple of days she was telling us like what was going on. And then she disappeared And later on, we found out that she had a dual personality disorder and that none of that was happening at all. That was just like kind of a mind blow just for like first year of high school.
Whoa.
The teacher's just pouring that out to you. And then later on, she disappears. We've got a sub for the rest of the year. And then you find out that from some other...
Did she ever come back?
Whoa. No, I mean, I think I saw her once afterwards and she was like totally different. So it was weird because it was like, well, which person were we talking to when she was teaching? Mm. It was kind of one of those situations.
Is this the personality with a degree or is this the one that, you know, doesn't have any credentials to be in the classroom?
Exactly. But like her story was so detailed and she was like talking about like police restraining orders and like seeing this man like in like the mall and things like that. So that's what made it like super believable. But apparently none of that was actually happening.
Just some movie she watched, like on Step Brothers. Is that Good Will Hunting?
Yeah. Sure. Mine's, I was young, so I feel like I've always been a skeptical person ever since I got like a little older. So a lot of big lies didn't hit me. I always kind of like, But my brother was feeding the adoption thing on me for the longest. I know a lot of younger siblings hit you with the, you know, you're adopted, right? I don't know if you ever got that, Tony, being a younger sibling. But my brother always told me I was adopted. He's like, look at the color of your eyes, man. He's like, who in our family has that? Nobody, right? He was like, so mean. Kind of like, wouldn't that kind of make you mix with somebody maybe white or something like that? Like, you know, he was pushing this shit. And I just remember being like, I had nothing. I was just like, well. But, and then I told my mom one time, my dad would kind of be like, man, shut up, Keenan. Like, he would kind of shun it away.
Yeah.
Then I asked my mom one day, and she was like, Keenan, you look exactly like your motherfucking brother. Like, y'all get this figure for the same person.
Because like that?
Yeah, she was just kind of like, she was like disrespected because now it's like, you're pretty much saying, I'm out here stepping out and shit. So she was like, she probably got defensive in that sense. And so she was like, what the fuck? No. She's like, y'all look exactly like, they literally call y'all twins and y'all 17 months apart.
You know, well, I mean, I guess she wouldn't be stepping out if you were adopted.
Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, the same guy. Yeah. But I guess saying that I wouldn't be hers. She's like, I ain't gonna raise no kid that ain't mine, nigga. Like, what you talking about? So I just remember when he was saying, I would be like, Mom said you're lying. All right, next question. Do you think this was an accurate representation of X-Men? And who was most like their original version, and who was their least? Who was the least? Rob.
I definitely think they changed some things up. I feel like, you know, especially because this is coming to a different audience, you know, I'm sure people in Japan are familiar with the X-Men, but maybe they don't watch it or engage with it as much. So even the fact that like in the, you know, in the opening, you know, just like Keenan has behind him, if you're watching this on YouTube, like they tell you like, this is the character, this is their power, you know, this is all who they are. So yeah, I mean, I think they changed some things up. I feel like they took this opportunity to make people a little different. I would say with the exception of that moment where he went absolutely crazy on Neuron, I felt like Wolverine was very different and much more like, kind of like likable and affable. Like, to be honest, Wolverine is not one of my favorite X-Men. I find him to be a little like too much sometimes, a little too dark and gritty, where it's just like, not that I can't handle like the dark stuff, but he's always just like, I don't remember anything. And I'm like, we get it. Like, you're sad, you know? So I thought like for him to be like joking around and being the one that's telling Cyclops he's going too far, like just didn't feel like Wolverine to me in a lot of senses. But that being said, I think Beast was pretty accurate. You know, he definitely was out there, you know, bringing the gadgets, you know, trying to figure things out. He was usually the one that's just like, something's not right here. So I thought Beast was pretty close to how he was in the comics.
So Wolverine or Bakugo? Like OG Wolverine or Bakugo? Who you hate?
I'd still Bakugo. I would take old school Wolverine over Bakugo.
Tony?
One thing I don't like is they never give Storm anything to do, and I'm sick of it. They do it in the movies, they do it here. They just, you know, she's there, she's in the mix, but it's just like she's always on the side every time. Let's focus on, you know, the movies like to focus on Wolverine. And then this one, they focus like really on Cyclops, I guess. And then Hisako and like Emma even more. Having Beast, you know, Wolverine do their thing, you know, because Wolverine always gets all the attention. But
yep.
They always throw in a little kid. Let's focus on the little kid. And that annoys me, too. And that has always annoyed me with cartoons that are supposed to be action and serious when they throw in little kids. Like, you know, when Transformers did it and they had Spike hanging around with Bumblebee. I hated that. I was like, man, get these kids out of here. Even though I was a kid, I was like, get these kids out of here. And so even in the movie, the first movie, Rogue was young and like, let's focus on them. I'm like, man, forget these kids.
Deadpool even did that too. The movie,
in the sequel. But Deadpool, get this kid out of here, man. Look out. I do agree with Rob. I feel like Beast was dead on, as he is in the comic books. Dead on. I like Cyclops in this, man, as well, because, you know, Cyclops can come off as a bit of a, you know, Boy Scout, tight ass. We do things by the book, you know what I'm saying? And in this one, he had a little bit of edge to him. I'm always tired of the Jean element that they stick on Cyclops. Like, he's nothing without Jean. Like, I'm tired of that dynamic. Man, it's like Gene. I'm like, all right, bro, move on. And so,
she did,
man. And I agree with Rob too. Well, Wolverine, I kind of like seeing them crack jokes though, because you know that whole dynamic of Wolverine is played out too. The tough guy, I'm not going to follow the rules. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take your girl. I don't care how you feel about it. You know, and I like the dynamic between him and Beast and like, you know. So my biggest issue is just like, stop giving Storm nothing to do.
Yeah. So knowing what you know about the comics and the TV show and everything, you know, Storm's ability and Storm's stories, do you feel like she has enough to carry a show by herself? Yeah. Like, can they branch her off like they do Wolverine?
Absolutely, because the history of Storm is like, you know, she comes from Africa, claustrophobia because of how she came up. And then, you know, in the comic books, you know, she's doing these dope things for the team and all this, always coming through in the clutch. And then she loses her powers for a while, for like, you know, a long time. And so not only that, like Storm got hands. Like she can fight. Like I remember when she had to fight the Morlock leader, Callisto, in the sewers, like hand to hand. It was like, no, none of your little fancy powers. She was like, well, what's up then? And she beat her and became the queen of the Morlocks. And like, you know. When she had the mohawk and like she was out here with no powers and she was leading the team, it was like, yo, Storm was much more than just, you know, wind and lightning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they never touch on any of that, you know, beyond, you know, everybody's all excited because she married Black Panther. But even before that, and then there was a time where she died and got resurrected as a kid. And so she was like young Storm for a while. And it was it's so much meat on Storm's bones that they refused to go into, and I'm tired of it. Because she's one of my favorite X-Men.
And that pissed me off, too, when they tried to interject Wolverine into Storm shit and had her dating fucking Wolverine. I was like, y'all
look right. Look out, man. Ain't nobody buying that couple. She ain't gonna like him. Look out.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go with Storm as being the least like any of the other characters. But then also... looking at like the broader spectrum of every piece of X-Men content that's been created, this was a pretty good like amalgam mashup of all of that, and they drew from a lot of different parts of X-Men that I saw and kind of put it all into one show. And like to what Rob said about Wolverine, there are interpretations of Wolverine when he's like that. It's just not typically his interpretation, so I think they did a nice job of like drawing the different parts from like different I guess parts of the X-Men canon and like parts of stories that like were told or those died, or they even took off parts of the movies and took aspects from that and put it in there. And that's one thing I liked about it, that they were new characters, but they felt like they all had like aspects of like every other part of X-Men that I saw. So as to like a character that was like the least like any other interpretation was probably Storm, just because like she was just not, she was just useless in the sense that they didn't give her, as Tony said, anything to do. And she's like so powerful, like almost to the point where like she could take them all out if she wanted to, just because her power is the weather. Like she has that kind of like Deus Ex Machina way to like fix things. And maybe they were like, she's too powerful, so we can't have her fixing everything in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't inaccurate in the sense that it drew on, to me, parts of X-Men that were like the smaller parts, or like comics that maybe people haven't read, or like TV show aspects. Like there were some things from like the X-Men Evolution series that came out in like the early 2000s that I saw that they drew from.
Evolution
and just, and I think on top of that, they made it definitely accessible to the Japanese audience by setting it in Japan and that. And I think that was the most different aspect to like anything else that I've read or seen for X-Men. So for a character who's the weakest, I would say Storm, or not like who she should be. And then for the one who's the most accurate, I'd have to say, honestly, they were all pretty accurate to me in the interpretations, and they kind of removed the things that I hated, like how Tony said with Cyclops. Like, I hate how he's always crying about Jean, and they didn't have him doing that constantly. Like, it was definitely an aspect of him, but he wasn't doing that constantly. So I liked, I think, all of the characters, because some of the aspects that I didn't like from other interpretations, they didn't have in there. Hmm. So that's what I think.
So, Cam, you telling me there's a version of Cyclops out there in the world that be getting active like that, like he did in the anime.
I mean, X-Men talking, versus Avengers? From like the 60s to now, that much time for X-Men lore, there's definitely interpretations of Cyclops that are like that.
Yeah, Cyclops doesn't get the respect, you know, he always, you know, deserves, because I remember when the Ultimate X-Men came out, you know, him and Jean still together, whatever, and Wolverine left Cyclops for dead. He dropped him off a cliff, and Cyclops laid down there at the bottom of the ravine, legs and arms broken. He was eating bugs to survive. He ended up getting found, and he recovered, and he came back to the team. And, like, you know, he was all about the leadership position still, and Wolverine tried to roll up and, like, say something. He just blasted him. He was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're off the team. So Cyclops ain't no punk, man, but... You know, and even in this, when he was teaching old girl, you know, how to be tougher, I thought that was a dope moment for Cyclops.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I always feel like Cyclops, you know, he just has that whiny bitch Boy Scout about him. But I do think, and especially in these last few episodes, he turned up. I wanted to see him go full blast. I know at one point he had turned up his laser. He was just like, and he was like, hey, chill, bro. He was like, I'm about to just end this shit. Like, he was about to go full blast, which I thought would have been super dope. I think for the accuracy, I thought Wolverine, well, I've read some of the comic books, but I was more of the animation dude. Even in the original animation, when we grew up as kids and watched, Wolverine has always been kind of funny. He's always kind of cracked side jokes.
Yeah.
He's always been pretty charismatic in that way.
He did in the comics too.
Yeah.
I mean, how else a 5'5" person going to get Jean Grey?
You
got to
have
jokes.
You got to be funny. You got to be funny. You ain't just going out there with looks and you hairy too. No, I didn't have it. So I felt like he was represented, for me anyway, from what I'm used to seeing, fairly accurate. And I thought he held his own. I would say, I guess the least accurate would be Storm. She had, I know we talked about her passing out, but even in the animation, that regular one, she had a moment where she kind of passed out too. But like Ice and I were talking about earlier, it took her a while to kind of get there. It was like, all right, she kind of brought on a whole thunderstorm, fucked some shit up, that she was like, all right, then she'll pass out or whatever. Mm. Here, she did like one little thunderbolt or one wind swim in the first few episodes. She was like, take over somebody, I can't. And I'm just like, the fuck y'all talking about, bro? Like, she's way better than this. So... That's just my view
on
it.
I would say Beast is most like himself, along with Wolverine. I feel like Wolverine was pretty spot on. I was a big Wolverine fan, so I dug a little bit more into Wolverine's stuff. And he was a funny guy. A part of me really wants to say Cyclops. That's why I asked Tony and Cam, you know, the question that I did, because all of the interactions, because I, you know, all of the more on the animated side, very little on the comic book side. But all of the interactions I've had with Cyclops, he's been a hoe. He's been the feds. He's been the ops. Any word that you want to use that is Cyclops. And anytime anybody ever said that Cyclops was their favorite X-Men, like, we're not friends, friend. Like, I will never trust you. Like, if I asked you who your favorite X-Men is and you say Cyclops, like, dog, we can't. I would never tell you anything because you're the feds. So to see him, like, he started off as a whole, maybe the first two episodes, because he was, you know, in his feelings. But the back 10, he was all right. And I was like, I don't mind this Cyclops. Like, he can have the screen, and I'm not pissed. And I think that was the furthest off from the Cyclops I know. But, you know, obviously I'm not as well educated as I should be in the Cyclops universe. But yeah, I think from my knowledge, he was the furthest off, and Storm is a very, very close second because they played the fuck out of her.
Next question. Do you think these last couple of, well, I want to go to that question last. Even though I put it here, I'm going to go to that question last. Out of all the X-Men animated series that you watch, how would you rank them? X-Men animated series only. So what is there? X-Men Evolutions, this one.
The Fox series.
You said what? X-Men animated series. So what, three or four?
It's Evolution, the OG, and then this one.
This one, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. They're the most popular.
I would... this had the potential to be the best. It had the potential to be the best. The animation was dope. They got after it towards the end. There's killing in this one. It was, you know, they took it there. But is it the best? No. I will say when I actually rewatched X-Men Evolutions, I feel like that would be my number one. And it's a close. I'm talking about that and the original OG. Those are close first and second. The OG just like is so near and dear to my heart because that's what I grew up on. I can still do the whole fucking theme song. You know, again, classic Wolverine yellow suit. You know, I know we had a character in there. I like Morph. Morph was funny to me.
Morph
was
trash.
He was funny to me.
They created him just to get killed.
And then when he came back, I was like, no.
His voice sounded like he needed a Tommy gun at all times. Like,
I hated Morph.
Wolverine, pull back.
Shut up, man. Morph your voice into something else, bro.
Yeah, I remember you saying like they already had Mystique. What was the even need for Morph? I
get great value Mystique. That's what he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would have to rank and then X-Men 2011. These last few episodes were some of the better episodes out of all the X-Men animated series that I've personally watched. I thought they got after it in these last few. Having Wolverine go berserker mode, which, you know, I think he tends to do in the comic books and other ways. I know in the video game he does that too. And it's just like, I don't think the other animated shows ever had him go berserk like that, which I was like, finally they had him do that and go crazy like that. So that was super dope. So I would have it X-Men Evolutions and OG type 1 and 2, and then this one 3 had the potential to be number one. Cam?
I'm very close to Keenan's ranking. I would just say the animated series Evolutions, this, just because the animated series is near and dear to my heart. It's also the closest to the comic book interpretation. Like, they drew a lot from the original comic books and recreated that into the screen. And I think that's pretty dope. I mean, the first couple seasons are super kiddie because, I mean, that's how most kids shows start. I do like when they kind of catch their stride and they're like, okay, we can kind of be a little more serious, the storylines. And I think they get there. Evolution's dope because, like, I was, what's that, like mid-2000s? Like, that was like a perfect time for me because I could directly relate to the characters because they were all younger in that sense. And still in school. And then this, I thought, again, like Keenan said, it had the potential to be like an amped up, more mature version of like the X-Men. And I feel like they could have done a lot more in that regard and really gone there just because it's animated. It's an anime. I don't know the rating of this offhand or what the way it's rated, but I feel like they could have done a lot more in the sense of like the seriousness to it. Hmm. And they just kind of pulled their punches in areas which I feel like they didn't have to. But definitely the original animated series, just because of me being a nostalgic person, and then Evolutions and this.
Nice.
For me, it'll be the OG first, Evolution second. What I loved about Evolution so much is they expanded. They told you about so many different characters. Like, they gave other characters that usually didn't get the spotlight. Like, Quicksilver was a big part of Evolution, and I always thought that was super dope because they don't. Yeah, and they don't really talk about Nightcrawler. They gave some love a lot in that one too. And then the anime third, but the first one. The only reason I give the first one the edge on Evolutions is because that's when Marvel was in. I mean, I guess Marvel's still in their bag, but the animated Marvel, like, that's when they was interjecting each other in each other's shit. So, like, that X-Men would pull up on Spider-Man, and they'd be like, who the fuck are you? And then Spider-Man would be like, who the fuck are you? And then Wolverine and Spider-Man would fight each other. Then Punisher would pull up in his fucking military van. Yeah, like, yeah, like, they had all of them would, like, interject, and that was a, like, because I loved all of those shows separately. So to see everybody pulling up on everybody to fight different villains from each other's universes, I thought that was so dope. And as a kid, like, that was just, like, an animated overload for me. So that's, like, that's why I put the OG. So OG first, Evolutions, and then way down at third, the anime.
Tony?
You know what? I've never seen Evolution. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know when Evolution...
Cam was disgusted.
I don't know when it hit the streets. Like, it must have come out. Let me see, like, when it came out.
It was quick. Like 2000, 2001, 2002, yeah. Like that area. Yeah.
Early 2000s.
Okay, so that was a weird time for me where I wasn't really watching like TV at that time.
Oh, it was 2000 definitely a kids show too.
2003. Yeah. I was a new father then. Matter of fact, I didn't even really have a place to stay for real in 2000, 2001. So it was just like I couldn't watch it. Like, literally.
X-Men Evolution was the last thing on your mind.
Yeah, it was just like, dang, I missed out on the kids WB. We ain't had cable nowhere. It was just, so I never got back around to it. Now, the X-Men animated series, that's going to be number one. Because I finally feel like, even though, you know, growing up reading the comic books, I still was nitpicking on how they would change the narratives to fit the animated series. I just feel like they nailed everything in terms of, like, you know, the characters and how, and the fights that they would have, and, like, you know, me seeing them fight the Sentinels, and, like, I love when they fight the Sentinels, like, you know, and just the team that they had of, like, you know, Storm, Rogue, Gambit, you know, Beast, they put in jail for too long. And I was just like, man, he's still in jail? And then, like,
he was,
you know, and then they was just, you know, going into those storylines that I thought were dope. I wish the animation was better. I wish some of the voice actors were a little bit different. I hated Storm's voice in that one. But, yeah, I thought it was just dope. And I was like, yeah, man, it was finally good to see the X-Men, like, outside of Spider-Man and his amazing friends, and, like, seeing them do, like, a couple episodes and me getting super excited. Because X-Men have always been my favorite. And then this one, the anime, I'm like, yes, X-Men with anime visuals? I'm like, sign me up. I'm excited. But, and one of my biggest criticisms about anime, and y'all might get offended here since this is the anime podcast, but anime, to me, one of the biggest turnoffs is that they're too melodramatic and they draw everything out too much. It's like too much emotion for me. Like, Keenan will tell you, like, I haven't been back to Attack on Titan because the character was crying all the goddamn time in the first season.
His mom got eaten in front of him, dog. What you talking about?
People die every day, B. You know how many movies I've seen where they've lost a loved one and then they get over it? Yeah. But it's like,
he's a teenager, bro.
That's the thing about anime, though. They draw it out too much. Even with X-Men, this X-Men right here that we just watched, the whole draw out of, you know, the kid, you know, his son, and just, like, you know, all the, they drawing it out too long, the emotion. Let's just get to the fights. Let's just get, all right, man, that's your son. He wilding out. Let's attack. Oh, all right, attacks didn't work. Let's go. And so, and then, and I felt that anime vibe on this X-Men that's different from the comic book vibe. The comic book vibe, they're getting it done. Yeah, they're addressing issues and they kind of stretch things out with different issues, but they threw that anime element in there, and the high pitched whining and the crying, and the I was just like, you just had to do that, didn't you? And so I'm putting this X-Men 3. I didn't even know this was 2011. Where's the sequel at? Where's the continuance?
That ain't never gonna happen.
It ain't
trash. Plug pulled.
So what do y'all, Cam, Tony, what do y'all feel is a piece of media that's the furthest away from a comic? Like the original comic that it was. What piece of media, not just animated, movie, whatever,
Let Rob answer first.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm not going to say anything too crazy. I'm absolutely animated series, number one, just because also, you know, nostalgic for me. You know, and it's just I liked that it had a kind of a it felt like they were always on their heels. Like it always felt like they had like, you know, their backs up against the walls. And I always thought that was kind of cool that it was just like, no, that these Sentinels are a problem. Like, yeah, Beast is in jail for most of it. Like, yeah, Morph gets like killed, like almost right out the bat. Even the fact that like they ended up kind of making Rogue so like a questionable figure, showing like that she like stole her powers like from Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel,
Ms. Marvel.
Oh yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought that was really cool. I also, like Tony, I didn't see Evolutions. I've seen like maybe a couple episodes here and there. I didn't really watch it like that. I don't know, just sort of it being in the high school setting, I sort of was just like, it was already out of school. You didn't really need to change it up. And I just didn't really see the draw. But hearing that they featured a bunch of other characters, I might check that out. Oh, cool. Because like my biggest complaint about the X-Men movies is that they are so focused on Wolverine. It's like you have this rich cast of characters and you're just talking about this one guy every movie, for the most part.
Wolverine is not really like he's in it, but he's just like, like I said, they pay a lot of attention to everybody else.
Yeah.
So that's a cool
storyline. Like they give cats like their own little moments in there, I think. Whereas I feel like they always focus on the main guys. So go ahead with what you're going
to say. Rob, I thought you already
Oh, it's all good, man.
But yeah, I was just asking Cam and Tony, like, because you guys are versed in the comics, what piece of media that you've seen that's like so far off from the comic books that it's like maddening when you watched it?
Oh my God.
I'll answer first. I would say Man of Steel. The movie it's a polar opposite to anything that Superman is supposed to be. Like, Superman's fundamentals is that, like, he's an alien but was raised as a human, and like he identifies and empathizes with humans more than his actual species. Whereas in this, he's just like so detached, and like his father is supposed to be like, no, you're supposed to help people, but then in Man of Steel he's like, no, fuck everybody, don't save them, save yourself, don't show your powers. All those kids in the bus should have died. You shouldn't have saved them. all that kind of stuff. And then in the end, he's just destroying the city, just trying to get to Zod, his actual character would have been trying to stop any of that from happening. And like, I didn't see him save anybody but Lois in Man of Steel. At least I don't remember him. If anything, he snapped Zod's neck towards the people while Zod was using his eye beams, he snapped his neck towards them, so they would have died anyways. And that was an infuriating movie for me. And I think it's probably the least like any comic interpretation. Like, you got 75 years of Superman at that point to draw on, and this is what you created. No, that killed the DC universe for me.
That boy Zach. That's Nolan too who did that shit too. Zach ain't the only one to blame.
Did that. Yeah. I mean, he had his name on there. I don't know how actually a part of it he was.
Yeah.
Tony?
Definitely how they have shredded the X-Men up. That's my biggest beef with the comic book movies, is how they just be making up stuff just to get it going. Like, when they did the first X-Men, it was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Let's focus on Wolverine, and Rogue is a runaway, and you know, they go into the school and they barely even set up the school, and like, you know, Storm and Cyclops are here, and you know, Jean, and then you know, Magneto's gonna do this for that. And it was just like, you could tell they rushed it, you could tell they had budget constraints, and it was just like, bro. And then, you know, X2 rebounded. But then, you know, they fumbled again with X-Men The Last Stand. And then, you know, the Dark Phoenix saga, they ripped that to shreds. It was just like, series didn't do it right. But man, they, and for me, the Dark Phoenix saga and Days of Futures Past are probably my two favorite comic book stories ever in life. X-Men stories, like my top three are those two, and then the Extinction Agenda. But man, just watching how they ripped it to shreds, and then they tried to do Dark Phoenix again last year, the year before. Trash. And I was just like, oh, my nose is bleeding. It was just horrible. And even like X-Men Origins, what they did to Deadpool, and like, what are you doing?
That was trash. Yeah, that was garbage.
So that angers me the most, how they just ripped to shreds the X-Men storylines and the story arcs. Even though they did decent with Days of Futures Past and First Class, and Logan was amazing.
Yeah. But they're just inconsistent.
Yeah.
All that other stuff, oh my God. Don't get me started, man. That's what pisses me off the most.
All their money went into the bridge and Magneto scene. That's their whole budget went into that scene.
Oh my God, man.
Oh, that was so bad.
Oh my God. Like that escape scene in X2 was amazing. The White House scene with Nightcrawler, amazing.
Awesome.
And then you know, they tried to recapture some amazing set pieces for X-Men The Last Stand, and it was just like, the only dope part to me was when they was at Jean's house and they were fighting there. That was the only
scene
worth a damn.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, next question. If this show comes back with a second season featuring Magneto and the Mutant Brotherhood, like they tease in the after credits, would you check it out? Rob?
I would. I basically just to see what they were like, because I don't really know Mastermind or the Inner Circle that well. You know, when I think of X-Men and I think of their villains, I think of what, like Magneto is the first one that comes to mind. And like, he's such a dynamic villain. I'd love to see him, because he's one of those villains where you're like, I get it. I get where he's coming from. He's got a point, you know? I would love to see, you know, them go up against him, because, you know, I felt like the villains and the plan and what they were fighting against was probably the weakest part of this show. So I would be interested to see, you know, a more interesting, compelling villain that's like, if they can just go back to the hits, you know what I mean? Cause I think we talked about this a week or two ago, like, should they have adapted something that was already out there? And like, I feel like sometimes when it comes to something like this, you got to play the hits. And I think that would be a good way to bring people back. So I would check it out personally.
Yeah, same here. Even after all these years, if they're bringing Magneto in, I want to see how they do him. I want to see how he's voiced. I want to see how he looks and how they're going to do his animation, I think. And who would they put on his main squad back on this? So I'll be super hyped for it. Cam?
I mean, I would watch the first couple episodes. Actually, I had a question. I don't know if Tony knows this. Is Mastermind and that whole, like, group, are they... Well, I think they were created for this, because I don't remember any interpretation of them in the comics in that sense.
Mastermind absolutely exists. He is... he was part of the Hellfire Club in the comic books.
Okay, so that's
books,
who they drew from. Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mastermind was the whole... He was the dude that started really messing with Jean Grey's mind after she was just regular Phoenix at this time.
Yeah.
And he was giving her this whole grand like scheme, you know, and like messing with her mind. That sparked the Dark Phoenix thing. Mm-hmm. And so, but the only person that I recognized in this anime was Mastermind. The other cats that he had on his squad, I was like, oh, who are these guys?
It felt like they tried to do like a knockoff Mr. Sinister and his like group of creepy mutants, and it just didn't like.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
Mr. Sinister is a dog.
Yeah,
Sinister is a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
But for this, I mean, yeah, of course, I would watch it. Why not?
Nice.
It'd be one of those, like, you know, if you guys showed interest in it, so I'd be like, Rob, how was it? Like, I wouldn't be, you know, when it popped on Netflix, I'd be like, I know, I'll let Cam or Rob or Keenan watch it, and then I'll talk to them. If they say it's cool, then I'll give it a chance. But I just wouldn't want them to see, I wouldn't want to see them do Magneto dirty. And I'd be highly upset if they dropped the ball with him.
I feel that. Tony?
Anytime Magneto pulls up, so do I. Magneto is pretty much the Denzel Washington of the X-Men universe, man. I think he's probably the best. He's my favorite comic book villain of all time. Just because, you know, I know a lot of people probably put Joker up there or Thanos, but Magneto is a villain that, you know, you can relate to. Like, he has a valid beef. Like, you know what I'm saying? He goes about it wrong, But you'd be like, man, can you really be truly mad at him for how he feels about humanity and like how mutants are treated? And like, so he has a great, you know, base. So he's just like, man, and then his powers are dope as hell. He can do so much stuff that he's so dope. And if you bring Magneto in with the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, just have Magneto, Mystique, Pyro, Avalanche, and you could throw Toad in there. Those are some good battles to be had, man. It's just going like, yo, that'd be Pyro dope to watch. Pyro was
always trash to me, though.
Who?
Pyro, at least, unless in the comics. Hell no. Pyro was always garbage.
He's dope in the comics because he was creating like whole fire monsters that could grab. I remember a fire monster he created, Grab, was just holding Colossus, and like Colossus was turning red hot. Like, they messed up Colossus so bad one time, they turned him into, like, a statue. Because they heated him up, and then Avalanche buried him in all this cement, and they just created the statue, and he was stuck in it. And I was like, wow.
And yeah, so, the Brotherhood of Mutants aren't to be messed with.
Yeah, man. So that'd be a dope dynamic for, like, great fights and great conflict. But again, I feel like they would just fumble the ball, start creating characters that don't even exist. Like, you ain't got to create nothing. The source material is already here. There's so many characters in the canon already. Just bring them.
Yeah.
The classics, the hits. That's what we want. And so, yeah, man. Absolutely, I'm pulling up.
All right, this is the last question. Do you think these last couple of episodes made up for the rest of the series? Can.
I mean, for me, yeah, they ended on a stronger note than they started, definitely. And they, I think there was enough payoffs. There were a couple of points where I was just like, okay, like I think Tony said that they dragged it out just too much. Like when Professor X was in that ship on his like mushroom trip, it was just like, okay, get out of this. We've seen so much. Like he doesn't need to be doing this the whole time. Just get it out of there. But the battle itself, I think where they ended it and like how his son kind of sacrificed himself or basically like he kind of realized that he had to go too with what was going on. And like how they tied everything together. I think some of the closing words that like Cyclops said, I think paid off. The part with Wolverine when he kind of went berserk and it was like, okay, yeah, this is kind of what we're supposed to see Wolverine doing. Mm-hmm. Those made up for the boring like exposition stuff that they were trying to do in the first couple episodes, for me at least. So that's why I would have said, like, if they're coming out with a sequel series, I would have watched it just because this ended, I think, on a stronger note than it definitely started.
No, I would not. It doesn't for me because I feel like it just didn't do, I guess just because of the amount of anime we watched and stuff, it's just the fighting wasn't like blow your socks off fighting, and it was cool to see Wolverine get active, but he get active is episode 11. It wasn't really that whole span of four episodes. Like episode 11, episode 12, that's when like shit really got crazy. And also, too, I guess to no fault of their own, which is why I don't really, like, go crazy when Xavier or any telepath get on the screen, because it's a fight in the mind. Like, they not throwing hands, so that's always throwing me off. It's like you getting closer and closer to KU, and it's just like you're just getting closer to him. Like, you're not fighting him. You're not beating him up. He just turns around, gets angry. You get closer. Turn around, get angry. Like, they kept doing that over and over. And I'm like this is a fight of the minds. I'm not blown away by this. Was the part with Wolverine cool? Yeah. Armor, when she was on there, I was bored. But yeah, overall, it wasn't really, like, getting active enough to undo the eight episodes, the eight or nine, maybe even 10 episodes where they was just talking. And even that big talk scene right before they opened the door for Legion, I'm like, what the fuck? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? So no, it would not. No, it did not, excuse me.
For me, I think it did. This is why I said, like, I was hyping this show up at one point, from what I remember. Because I remember the first four episodes weren't bad to me. That middle section, I was kind of like, all right, man. They dropped the ball on a fight scene that could have been super dope. I thought Storm pretty much lighting that dude up and burning him up, electrocuting him pretty much to a crisp. I thought that was super dope. I think they finally gave her a moment. Like I said, I loved Wolverine's Berserker mode. I feel like Beast had moments here and there. Cyclops, I thought him turning up, blasting cats and his eye being like, we talk about the past few episodes, it's a little OP, but I mean, at least from what we've seen in the animated series. But when he turns it up, he turns it up. I feel like characters got a little bit active. It could have got more active for sure in these last four. But I feel like this is why I was recommending, why I was so hyped when I first watched this show. And this is why I would definitely watch a season two, or why I wanted a season two, especially when it first happened, was because of these last four episodes. Tony?
I agree with Ice. Like, the climactic battle, it wasn't dope, man. Like, you know, and I agree. Like, you know, the mental battles, in the mind. Once they go in the mind, and then, oh, you're a kid again in the mind. I'll just be like, man, I want to see what's really happening in the moment. Sock outs, blasts, flying around, getting hurt, getting beat down, knocked out, recovering. I want to see that. Like, I don't want to see all these mental fights. I'm like, you know, I get it. You know, that's your power, but we off that. We done built up, mastermind and tricked y'all. All right, we fighting now. Fisticuffs, furniture moving, like, you know, chairs being broke over somebody's back.
You got to animate it dope if that's the case. You got to make the animation dope if you're going to have some type of mind fight to where it's like...
Like a mind mob cycle.
Do that. Like, even when they fight in the mind, have the mind fight, their warriors in the mind. Like when Professor X battled the Shadow King, and they just, you know, in reality, they were just sitting at a table in India or something. But in their mind, they had on armor and swords and, like, you know, something like that. Cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the action just wasn't good enough throughout the series. It was just like, you know, it'd be like a quick fight and then they out of there. And it's just like, it never felt complete. Like, I was never blown away by any of the action. And I was just like, it ended cool story-wise. I'm like, all right, you know, it was dope to see, like, Nightcrawler and Rogue and Captain Britain and, like, you know, Colossus and them.
The Deadpool cameo was hilarious to me.
They just threw him in there. I'm like, why is Deadpool in there? I'm like, yeah, stop shoving Deadpool down everybody's throat, man. But, you know... they just need to ramp up the action more, like if they're gonna do it. And so all throughout the series, it was just okay on the action front.
See, we gotta have Tony back on here more often. He agreed with me.
Because I felt what Ice was saying, like, you know, that last battle, it was like, it wasn't really a fight. It was all emotion. Remember when we were kids? Like, man, I ain't trying to hear all that, man. Like, in the comic books, when they had to fight to save Jean Grey's life, when the Shi'ar Empire pulled up, like, Jean Grey has to die. We're like, no, man, give us a chance to fight for it. They actually had to fight this whole team of, you know, other mutants, intergalactic mutants, and they was getting their asses kicked. But it was action-packed. And then, you know, they just... sick of it.
Rob? No, I actually agree with Tony and Ice on this one. I don't think it really was enough. I mean, but the problem for me comes less from the action and more from just like when they finally revealed like the grand master plan and what they've been going on, what this had been all about. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. I was just like, this whole mystery was building up to this, like, off of just, like, again, like, really dumb decisions by this one character that were totally avoidable. Like, the logic just didn't make sense to me. So, I mean, that being said, it was like, it just makes me think, like, yeah, they did a pretty good job with the X-Men themselves as the characters. But as we talked about so many times here, like, the villain makes the show. And I thought the villains were just sort of weak on this. Like, I didn't really care about the plot. I didn't really care about, you know, when the Rat and Marsh showed up, I'm just like, who are these guys? Like, Neuron at the end, like, this hasn't been built up at all. Like, so it's just like, it felt like, yeah, it just didn't do enough to really make a complete thing. It's like when you're wrapping a gift and it's like from the top it looks okay, but like you turn it over and it's got like 12 pieces of tape like all over and it's just like, you know, just barely holding together. Like it just wasn't quite there. So, I mean, if they do ever do a second season, that's why I say like I would check it out, like if it were, you know, Magneto, because that's a villain that I'm like, all right, like it's hard to mess that up, I would think. So, yeah, no, it didn't really do enough for me.
And I'm not going. I can't argue that and did a whole bunch. Yeah, like, you all wrote out valid points. Like, y'all crazy. I'm just like, I mean, this is how I felt. But I get y'all being like, yeah, it was lackluster. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm gauging it from like the first, if you look at from the beginning to this, at least it did have an upward trend and it didn't just like crash and burn.
Right.
It definitely didn't crash and burn on the ending. It was like, you know, it was a cool, like, all right, you know, but action wise, which at the end of the day, that's why I'm here for the comics, is like the action. That's what drew me here. It was just like, it wasn't, but like, it, you know, it wasn't a crash and burn ending. And the ending left me wanting a little bit more. I was like, all right, you know, I'll come back.
Yeah.
So I guess if you if you end like that, you win it.
First episode of the second season, Magneto need to take the Animanium out of fucking Wolverine. That's the first thing. That's the out the gate. Out the gate. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Something big would have to happen.
Yeah.
No.
All right. So this is the last part of the show. Pretty much we just give our wrap-ups, like what we our favorite part of these last four episodes, our least favorite part, and then we give our overall score of these last four, and then the overall score of the whole anime in general. So I'll go first to kind of give an example. My least favorite part was the mother, Takeo's mom, whatever. I don't remember her name, but she was the worst part of this whole anime, to be honest with you. But these last four, she's terrible. She has zero excuse for what the fuck she did. And I ain't gonna lie to you, if that was me and she was like, man, I'm just gonna go out here, I'd have been like, all right, so because the first time I meet my son, he dies. Like the first day I have to pretty much kill my son, let him go. You understand? I'm never recovering from that. I hate you.
Right.
Yeah, I hate your guts.
Right.
So that's the least favorite part of this. My favorite part was, like I said, some of the few action moments that did happen. Storm getting active finally, and then Wolverine getting active. That was my favorite part. My score for these four episodes, I would give a 6,000. My overall score of the whole show, I give a 5,500. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with a lot of that. My least favorite part.
I'm sorry, my bad, Rob. You actually go last.
Oh, because it's my pick. Yeah, okay. I'll go last. I'll hang back.
My bad.
Like my least favorite part of this show, or this stretch of episodes, was like you're at the fucking crescendo of the whole show, where you're about to unveil what's behind this thick ass door. And then we have a big TED talk. What are we talking about? Why are we talking right now? Mastermind is in there chilling. Even at least they addressed it. I'm glad that he addressed it. Mastermind was like, damn, like I was waiting for y'all forever. Y'all was never gonna come. God damn. So I'm like, I appreciate that he at least and the show at least acknowledged how long they were taking. Because that conversation, they had a conversation before they entered the one room. Then they enter that room, which I don't know how her and three of her scientists were able to build that big ass fucking thing. I don't even know how they were able to do that. I was watching like, who built this? Who built this? But then they had this long ass conversation. They just talk. They're giving each other a download, which they said, hey, we'll download you on this later. Just figure it out. And then they go and download them. I'm like, what? You just told them to figure it out. What are we doing? And so then they get to that. So this big ass talks. That was my least favorite. My favorite part, honestly, was like the end of the show. Like when the show is over and they show the X-Men, like how they, like, why couldn't they be like this? You know, when they go to the credits and they show Cyclops dressed different, you know, Wolverine got the brown on and the yellow, like, Storm looking dope. Like, why couldn't they, which only frustrated me because I'm like, why couldn't they look like this throughout the whole show? Like, why didn't they do this? Like, they could have been looking like this. Cyclops actually looks like dope and not a fucking fed. So I'm like, this could have been, why couldn't we do this? Where's this X-Men at? You gonna throw him at the end credits? I always like that part because they look super cool. Overall, these last stretch of episodes were better than the four previously. So I'll give you 5,000. For that stretch of episodes, and then overall for the show is 4,900.
All right, yeah, this is out of 9,000, Tony, out of a 9,000, like Dragon Ball Z, 9,000. So that's why rating is thousands like that.
Another thing that we do is we say whether we would recommend it or not. Would I recommend this show?
as if you would have to be somebody that likes comics and likes anime. This is not what I open up in the gate with. This isn't even a show that I say, hey, if you want to get into anime, watch this, because I don't think it's an accurate depiction of, you know, what anime can be. I would start them off somewhere else. This would really have to be where you're like us, where we like comics and we like anime and we've watched a ton of shit already.
Okay, so my least favorite part of this, at least this stretch of episodes, was, and this seems to always happen, is Wolverine is always susceptible to mind control. And if you guys don't understand that on the team by now, that we need to not let Wolverine get mind controlled, then, like, what are we doing? And then on top of that, when they're trying to stop him, they're all like, oh, no, be careful, don't hurt him. He can heal. Blast his face off. He'll be back in 20 minutes on our side. And then it's just like they were like pulling their punches, fighting him. But then like Storm's willing to electrocute him, fry him up with that other guy with no qualms at all. And I'm like, what are you got? Why are you pulling your punches right now? Knock him out and get him back on the right side. So that was my least favorite part, because it always seems to happen and they always fall to that. Most favorite part would have to be the part when Wolverine goes berserk and Beast, because I would thought that was a very interesting like dynamic when he's like, no, Beast, like, I know how to do this. Beat me up so that like I can overcome this pain that he's experiencing. And then when he takes out Neuron, I thought that was pretty dope. And then overall rating, I'm kind of in line with Keenan in the sense that I'd give it probably like a 6,500 for these four. And then overall, probably like a 5,000, I would say.
Okay. Tony?
My least favorite part would have to be just the whole final battle, the final showdown, where it was just like he was this big, huge energy beast monster, and it was just like, oh, this. And then they go on into the mine. It's just like, the kid. Remember this? Only you can, I wanted to see them dodging big hands, and like, you know, they would give us little inklings of like a battle going on where like he shot at them and then armors, you know, deflecting the heat from that. And like, you know, they each attempted, and I get it. They're out of their league. I don't know what Beast thought he was going to do when he tried to run up and do something. Like, Beast, bless your heart, man. if he just turned lightning into ice and just sit down, dog. Just sit this one out, bro. Like, on we need your mind for this, bro. Not your punch. Probably that element of it. And then my favorite would have to be, like, and I agree with y'all, the whole, you know, getting Wolverine to the berserker mode. Beast, sock me out, man, so I can do this. And then seeing him go berserk, I thought was dope. And then I was scared for Beast the whole time. That whole, like, little sequence had me the most locked in, because I was like, oh, he going to make him get to the berserker mode, but he going to be in there with him by himself. And, you know, I was like, how's Beast going to get out of this? And so I like that whole scene right there. So that'd probably be my favorite. So last four episodes, I guess I would give, I guess a 6,000, you know, still didn't blow me away on any level. I guess the whole series, I guess a 5,000 maybe. And would I recommend it? Not really, not unless, like Ice was saying, not unless you love the visuals of anime and you really love the X-Men. If you love those two things, then you got to pull up. You got to pull up and see. But I ain't going to, you know, recommend it with any kind of enthusiasm. It's just going to be like, hey, man, if you like anime, the way it looks, and you like X-Men, check this out. And then leave it at that.
Rob? Yeah. I mean, I think we're all on a very similar page. You know, for me, my least favorite part of both this last four and the series as a whole is I just thought the villain was weak. Sasaki was, I guess the villain is technically Mastermind, but, you know, she's really the one that kind of made this all happen. You know, she was sort of the impetus behind all this. It's also circling around her and her son. And she just, it's tough to get behind that when it's just like that character just acted so dumb. Like they showed up on her porch and she had no plan. She immediately was the most suspicious person in the entire world. She had no plan at all. Like she starts panic calling. She starts panic calling Xavier, like, you know, get your team out of here. Oh, also, by the way, you got a son, but he's dead. Like, why even tell him at that point? Like, what was that for? Yeah, so, no, she just, so for that, it's tough because, you know, your show, like, the challenge is only going to be as good as, like, the villain, and it just wasn't a good villain for me. Favorite, though, yeah, like, everybody was saying the Wolverine Beast Mode part, that was pretty cool. I mean, I like his team up with Storm there against Rat was fun to watch. Like, as soon as Wolverine got him in that bear hug, I'm like, oh, he's not going anywhere. You can stab him up all you want. Like, and the fact that he just made himself basically a lightning rod, you know, being a just giant metal spike ball, I was like, all right, cool. But I was disappointed in the show. The visuals were cool. I did like that they, you know, they gave Cyclops a little bit more of the spotlight, and I thought it was a pretty good showing for him. You know, he definitely does, you know, have his bad times. I thought this show was a stronger showing for him. So this stretch of episodes, I'd give it 5,800. Overall, 55. Wow. And would I recommend it? Yeah. I mean, if you're a Marvel fan and it's just like, just pull up and see how this is, just see it, just check it out. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. It's definitely not the best. So I would say if you like anime, you like Marvel, absolutely. Just
what was,
you got to see
it. What was your overall, Rob?
55.
Defend that pick, Rob. Let's go,
Rob. We all kind of gave a similar score, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't even have the lowest score here, so.
Yeah, if Rob would have said 6,700, we'd be like, all right,
wait a minute. 8,000!
But I am curious now to watch the Wolverine one. They have a Wolverine one on Netflix also.
Yeah, I started that yesterday.
We started it. How do you like it so far?
It's still too early to call. But, you know, the animation is good. I don't really like the way Wolverine looks in this. Well, you know, he looks so young and it's just weird to see. And he's tall and slim, man. Make him short. Stop bullshitting.
That's weird.
It's all right. Make him 5'4", man. This is what he is. Stop trying to sleek him out and make him more appealing. Stop, man. Stop messing with the source material. God
damn, man. Trust it.
Yeah. People, when you got money behind stuff, when the producer's coming
Hugh
in,
Jackman
like,
ruined that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. Everybody think he's 6 foot now.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, y'all have ruined the source material. And you got to realize, man, source material, staying true to it, it always works.
Well, and there's a reason why they did it like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
Exactly.
It works. Like, when they stuck to the source material with Lord of the Rings for the most part, it worked. You know, when they trust the vision of the original Harry Potter, it worked. You know, it's going to bring the money in. Like, if you don't piss off the original base and you can appeal to them and, you know, the masses, it's going to work, man. Just stop trying to.
I feel like Lord of the Rings is the best depiction. They're like, Lord of the Rings didn't miss, and they knew when to get the fuck out of there. They was like, hey, we get y'all these three, we good. Like,
then when they came back with The Hobbit, it was too much. It was like, man, too much. Stretched this out for too long. Yeah. And they messed up the whole legacy by stretching The Hobbit out into three pictures. No, just make one Hobbit movie and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to stretch it out.
Well, go ahead and drop your stuff, guys. Cam, Killer Cam, thank you for coming through, man. Go ahead and drop your social media stuff.
Instagram is, and Twitter is at Stickman Studios. That's STIKMAN Studios.
Mm-hmm. And if y'all don't know, Cam also does like a lot of the visuals for Tony's movie reviews.
Everything.
You see them, pictures of Tony with the funny
those thumbnails, man.
That's the Cam right there.
He's killing together, it, man.
He'd be killing those.
The WandaVision
one's
great.
Things to make.
Yeah. Tony, go ahead and drop your stuff, bro.
Tony Baker on Instagram, Tony Baker on Facebook, TonyBakerComedy.com. You can find things all, anything I'm involved in. Don't forget to check out Daddy Issues Podcast. I'm not sure when this drops. But the next Tony Baker and Friends will be February 12th. And I do movie nights on my I do movie nights with my Patreon people. So we watch movies together and you can hear me throughout the whole movie. Movies, TV shows, whatever, and you can chat with me as we watch it together. So you got to be a Patreon member to join in on that. And we use the Scener app. So, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Tony Baker, man. My brother.
Yeah, man. We out here.
And you also for coming through, man. Go ahead and drop your stuff, Ice.
Ice.McGowan on everything.
Rob?
Yeah, RV Danger on Instagram, RVDanger44 on Twitter.
Brennan, is that Brennan is best? Is that
Brennan is bitch? Yeah.
Brennan the best.
Yeah, it's up like that. I try to help you out. Brennan is best. I think
Brennan
is
best. Best
I
Brennan.
Said it's something different.
Once you change Brennan. Your handle, everyone forgets it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea.
Keenan Baker on every single thing, man. Follow me on everything. Follow the Animation Podcast, Cash App. Appreciate you for tuning in every week. And thank you for tuning in to another episode. Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.